In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. I remember a conversation with my father when I was about 10 or 12 years old. At that time, I was part of a little group of best girlfriends who always seemed to be fighting. There was a year or two in there when one or another of us was always being cast out of the inner circle for some heinous violation of the internal code of conduct. One day, my father asked me about one of my friends that he hadn't seen around in a while, and I said, "Oh, well, we're not really talking to her anymore. Lisa says she's stuck up." "Really?" he asked. "Yeah. And BJ says she's so stupid she doesn't deserve to be friends with us." "Hmm. And what do you say, Sarah? Or are you going to let your friends do all of your thinking for you?" Ooh. My father pitched me a hardball that day, right down the center plate. And it was a pivotal moment of my childhood. I think about it often. He didn't lecture me. He asked me a question. And in so doing, he invited me to make a choice about how I was going to live my life from that point on. Was I going to be petty? Was I going to let others do my thinking for me? Or was I going to engage my best with those around me? Jesus asked questions like this too, hard questions, life-shaping questions, like the one that he asks in the gospel reading today. Where we pick up the story, it seems there's been a lot of rumors swirling around Jesus, a lot of wondering among those who encountered Jesus. Who was this guy? Was he a prophet like Elijah or one of the others? Could he be the Messiah? Or was he just a forerunner of the Messiah? And at first, in response to all of this, Jesus pitches his followers a softball. He asks those who are following him, "Who do people say that I am? Who do other people say that I am?" And he gets all the speculation laid out at his feet, all the current thinking of the day. What's interesting about Jesus is that 2,000 years later, there's still a pretty serious buzz about him. At least once a year, Jesus shows up on the cover of Time or Newsweek because people are still intrigued by him, even if they don't consider themselves believers or followers of him. He's still one of the most intriguing figures who has ever walked the face of the earth. Who do people say that he is in our popular imagination today? There are a lot of different answers to that question. Some say he was a great moral and political leader like Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr. Others say he was a great spiritual teacher like the Buddha, Confucius, or the Dalai Lama. Some say that if he lived today, he would most definitely be a socialist, or at the very least a liberal Democrat. Others say he would most surely be a Republican. Some people look to him for instruction in business leadership. There was actually a best-selling book several years ago called Jesus, CEO. And though there's plenty of evidence that Jesus of Nazareth did actually walk the earth, that he was a historical figure, some people actually wonder if he was a real man at all, with a real history, or if he was just a figment of our imaginations, the product of human hope and need and projection. So this swirl of popular thinking about Jesus reminds me actually of one theologian's observation that we have a tendency to look down the long well of history at Jesus and see our own faces staring back at us. We make him what we want him to be sometimes. Nevertheless, how we answer that question, "Who do you say that I am?" has implications for how we'll live. And that's why he asks it. That's why he challenges us. Okay, you've heard what everybody else is saying. Now what do you say? His question is an invitation to stop taking refuge in the answers of others and to begin to answer for ourselves, and not just with our minds, but with our whole lives. If we really get serious about answering this question for ourselves, I think one of the first places we need to turn to look to try to understand who he was is Scripture. And to actually ask ourselves, well, what did Jesus say he was? Who did he say he was? And he says many things, and there are certainly many different interpretations that we can come to through a study of Scripture. But one of the key things that he says about himself, one of the most powerful things he says about himself, is that I and the Father are one. If you look at me, you see the ineffable, mysterious, unknowable God of the universe is made present and available and knowable through me. He makes that distant God available and personal to us. And what this says to me is that Jesus is maybe all of our projections and more. C.S. Lewis talked about him and made a case for him being Lord, which again is another image that Jesus presents of himself. C.S. Lewis says, look, he says he is Lord. And we have to take that and we have to either consider that he's right, he's either Lord or he's a lunatic or he's a liar. He said, if that's what the Son of God says he is, Lord, if that's not true, then he's either lying to us or he's just totally off his rocker. And I think that's a really common sense way of thinking, maybe we have to take another look if all we've made of Jesus is that he's just a great teacher or a great example. He said he was Lord and that he was the face of God among us. So what does that call us to? It means that in all of those areas, he's Lord. He's Lord of teaching. He's Lord of learning. He's Lord of the example. He's the Lord of healing, the Lord of peacemaking, the Lord of all the things that we might name him under that. And he invites us into a process of knowing him. He says, okay, if you say I'm a teacher, then what are you learning from me? Okay, you say I'm a moral example. How are you imitating me? You say I'm a healer. What broken part of your life are you bringing to me? You say I'm a peacemaker. Are you seeking me in the midst of the conflicts of your lives? Is he liar, lunatic, or Lord? For me, again, that most compelling image is of Jesus saying, I and the Father are one. And that's the image that I think he leaves with us to ponder most. Michelangelo really got it when he painted on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, I think, that painting that's on the front of your, or a portion of it that's on the front of your bulletin today. God, the great creator of the universe, reaching toward Adam, dying for a connection with us. Adam reaching back, dying for a connection with God. And yet there is this little space in between, not quite there. Jesus steps into the gap and says, I am that connection point. I am. And so he invites us into a life with him, of knowing him more deeply every day. With Peter, at the end of this gospel lesson, I choose to call Jesus Messiah, Lord. And that doesn't mean that we get to be superior. It doesn't mean that once we've made that choice once and for all, that's that, we're set. Peter says he knows who he is. He knows he's a Messiah. And then three chapters later, he denies ever knowing him. And even here in this chapter, when Peter answers, "You are the Messiah," Jesus says, "Yes, but you still don't fully understand what that means. You think it means we're going to ride into Jerusalem on a chariot. You don't understand that it means I'm going to suffer." I think this little bit at the end of this gospel lesson with Peter is included because it's meant to keep us humble in our searching. It tells us that even when we think we've come to the right answer, we have to assume we don't know the full story. Jesus pitches us a hard ball right down the center plate today. And sometimes we're going to hit a home run and get a little sense of who he is. And sometimes we're going to miss. But there's always another opportunity to step up to the plate, to come again, to discover more deeply who he is. Amen.